high, if that's the right term to use, or it may be that something bad has happened that's caused us to get discouraged. But there are certain times where we just kind of relax and things just kind of begin to coast along, and we don't continue doing the things that we need to be doing in our service to God and demonstrating our continued faith and dedication in serving Him. And what I want us to do this morning is to encourage us not to ease off, not to back off from the diligence that we need to have in our service to God, but rather to continue doing the things that we need to do. These are basic points, but the point of this exercise this morning and the lesson that we will be studying this morning is to encourage us and to beg us and to plead with us that we continue doing the things that we need to be doing in our service to God. As I look at these things, and before we get into it, I want also to stress this. I'm not looking at a group of people that I think have fallen into this trap. The idea that I want to put forth this morning are these are things we need to be continuing in. These are things we need to continue doing. We don't need to allow ourselves to ease up or to relax, but rather we must be enduring and we must continue doing the things that we're doing. So what are some things we need to continue in? The first thing is we need to continue in showing our love for God. As I think about that and we think about the account that Bernie has listed for us in our presence this morning, who could question that he's shown his love for us? I look at us as a group of people and I think about the fact that we would not be here this morning. We would not have the opportunities that we have to serve God and to worship Him as we have if it weren't for His love for us and His willingness to send His only Son to come to the earth to die for us. And I think about the sacrifice that God made as He is willing to send His Son, but then I think about the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made as He was willing to come. And He allowed Himself to leave heaven, to come to live on the earth. And if we have any concept of heaven, and we have a very definite concept of earth, we know what a drastic difference there is in those two realities. And then He not only allowed Himself to come to earth, but He took on the form of a man, like ourselves. He faced the rejection. He faced the doubts of the people. He faced, in some cases, just the indifference of those that He had done so much for. And as He came and as He lived on this earth and He walked and did the things that He did, He found Himself finally at a point where the very ones He had created are taking Him and hanging Him on a cross. Can we see in that the demonstration of love for us, not only on the part of God, but on the part of His Son, Jesus Christ? Who sitting in this audience this morning would question His love for us? And the thing that He calls on us to do as a result of the love that He has demonstrated for us is He calls on us to allow our actions to demonstrate our love for Him. The things that we do, the actions that we take in His service as we live for Him, those are things that demonstrate whether we truly love Him or not. Will you turn with me to a few passages? Go with me to John chapter 14. We'll read just a few verses that I think point this out this morning. In John chapter 14, read with me verse 15. Just a simple phrase, and we'll read this several times. It's interesting. The things we talk about this morning are things that are pointed out over and over again in the Scriptures. In John chapter 14 and verse 15, Jesus is talking, and He says to His disciples, "If you love Me, keep My commandments." If you jump on down to verse 21, He says, "He who has My commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves Me. And he who loves Me will be loved by My Father, and I will love him and manifest Myself in him." Judas, not Iscariot, said to Him, "Lord, how is it that You will manifest Yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves Me, he will keep My word, and My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love Me does not keep My words, and the word which you hear is not Mine, but the Father's who sent Me." I want you to turn, and we see a similar passage in the book of 1 John. In 1 John chapter 5, if you'll read with me verses 2 and 3, we see a similar idea presented. As again, this time John is writing, but he says almost the same thing. Jesus has looked at His disciples, and He said to them, "If you love Me, then keep My commandments. If you love Me, do what I'm telling you to do. If you love Me and you do keep My commandments, God will come and abide in you, and I will abide in you as well." In 1 John chapter 5, listen to this. In verse 2, it says, "By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome." It is one thing for people to stand up and say, "I love God." There are a lot of people who will do that. You can look around this county, you can look around this nation, and you can look around this world, and there are people far and wide who will stand up and tell you, I love God. That means nothing if those people are not willing to put into place in their lives the things that God has commanded them to do. We can look around our nation and look at people who stand and say, I fear God, or I love God, or I appreciate God. They have no clue what it means to love God. Because we look at their lives and we can see that they are not keeping His commandments. And the very test of our love, the very basis of our love, is our obedience to the things that He would have us to do. And if there is a person who is sitting in the audience this morning who would stand up and testify to the fact that they love God, but look at their lives and see that the things that they are doing are not according to the pattern of His will, then we can look at that person and say, that's not true. If you love me, keep my commandments. It is a demonstration of our love in doing the things that God would have us to do. Our actions show our commitment to Him and show our love for Him. He asked really so little in return in comparison to what He has done and what His Son has done. Who are we to turn Him down in that simple request? But not only must we continue showing love for God, but we must also continue showing our love for each other. There are a number of passages we can turn to. I want to turn to just a few this morning, and as we look at this idea. Go back with me to the book of John again. And I want you to go this time to John chapter 13. As we see Jesus, and one of His requests, if that's the right word to use, but one of the things that He desires is that His followers love each other. And I want you to read with me John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. Jesus is speaking to His disciples. John chapter 13, beginning in verse 34. He says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Go with me to another one. Turn over to chapter 15. Maybe just turn the page there. Begin reading with me, if you would, in verse 9. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Look at verse 17. These things I command you, that you love one another. One of the things that Jesus is pointing out as He talks to His disciples is this idea: if we claim to love God and we claim to want to be obedient to God, then one of the things that is going to happen is in our relationship with each other. The love that He had for us will be demonstrated as we deal with each other. And did you notice what He said right after that? Greater love has no man than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. That's the love that Jesus Christ demonstrated for us. He then in turn tells us that as we deal with each other, we should demonstrate that same love. I tell you, that's a challenge. It is not an easy thing to have that kind of love for people like us. There are times where we are not as lovable as we need to be. There are times where we do things to each other that are not what we ought to be doing. But that does not change the responsibility that I have as a child of God to demonstrate to you and you to me the love that Jesus Christ had for us. And one of the things we see to that is not only was it a life that He was willing to sacrifice for others as He lived here, but we also see that it is a forgiveness that He is willing to offer to us that we in turn should offer to each other. One of the interesting things to me as we studied the Sermon on the Mount this morning in many of our Bible classes, is that's the idea, I think, of some of the things that are said there. That's mentioned as He teaches us how to pray. That is mentioned at the end of that section as He talks about the fact that if we expect to be forgiven by God, we must be people who are willing to forgive each other. And a part of that, and going right along with that, is the love that we should have for each other as children of God and therefore as brothers and sisters in Christ. I want you to turn with me to Romans chapter 12. In Romans chapter 12, I want to read a few verses, beginning in verse 9. And I think, again, as we read these verses, we see this idea that we are to be people who love each other and who care about each other in the actions that we take towards each other. Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 9, if you will. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another, not lacking in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. What's the admonition? Love each other. Treat each other as Jesus pointed out, as we read this morning, as we would want to be treated. Demonstrate to each other the spirit of forgiveness and humility as we deal with each other. It's interesting to me how much of the Scripture, and a lot of it we studied this morning in our Bible class as we looked at the Sermon on the Mount, but how much of the teaching in the New Testament has to deal with us as we relate to each other. You ever thought about that? I've got a lot of passages listed here. We could turn and we could begin reading passage after passage after passage that talks about the relationship that we should have together in Jesus Christ. And ultimately, the definition, I think, that would have to come down of that relationship is love and unity. We need to be people who care about each other, who are willing to forgive each other, who show to each other mercy and forgiveness when we find ourselves in difficult situations. And I would suggest to you, and I want those who are members of this congregation to listen very closely to what I'm about to say. I would suggest to you that right now we are at a critical stage in our relationship with each other as a group of people. I look around, and just within the last few weeks, and I didn't run a count, but just within the last few weeks, we have had several families who have said they want to be members of this group. What have we done to make sure that they feel welcome? To make sure that they are welcomed as a united part of this group and feel like they are now a part of the congregation that meets at Pepper Road? Or have we allowed ourselves to stay within our own little groups and not allowed ourselves to branch out and to welcome them in among us? I would suggest to you it is important that we not allow ourselves, as so many churches have in the past, to begin to divide up into small sections and so on and so forth, and we find those cliques, that's the word, begin to develop. That cannot be allowed to happen here. As I look at the disciples of Jesus Christ, as we go back and we look at the very first century church and we begin to look and we see the way the apostles acted towards each other and the way Jesus welcomed his disciples in, we don't see that kind of thing taking place. And if we are going to be imitators of the first century church, which is what we absolutely must be, we must not allow ourselves to fall into that trap as well. If we claim to be people who love God and claim to be people who care about Him, and I honestly believe we are a group of people who do, then we must be demonstrating, in light of that, our love and our care and our concern for each other. We rejoice with those who rejoice. We weep with those who weep. Where there is an obvious affection among this group when people see us associating together, they see that we're a close-knit group of people who love each other and who care about each other. And that is vitally important for us to continue in if we are to be what God would have us to be. We could go through and list specific things that people who are a part of this group do for the others. I'm not going to do that this morning, but we could. There are people here who are giving tremendous amounts of time and effort and energy for the purpose of keeping this congregation doing the things that we need to be doing. May each of us be doing those things. May it not be up to a few, but may it be a united force working together in our relationships with each other. We must be people who care. We find ourselves working together here as a body of Christ. We are a family. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. And if any family is to be what it needs to be, it must be united. And I challenge you and encourage you to continue down the path that we have begun so long ago May we continue in that. And may we not allow the dangers that befall us as we expand in number, may those dangers not be things that we find ourselves tripping over as time goes on. We must continue showing our love for God. We must continue showing our love for each other. And the third and final thing I would suggest to you this morning is we must continue showing our love for our neighbor. It's interesting to me that there are a number of passages where this idea is presented again. Go with me, first of all, now to Matthew. I want you to go to Matthew chapter 22. In Matthew chapter 22, as we read beginning in verse 36, as we lead up to this, a lawyer has come to Jesus and asked this question, testing him basically, is what the passage says. But in verse 36, the question that is posed is this. The lawyer says, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Love the Lord your God, and love your neighbor as yourself. And on those two basic principles, those two basic commands, hang all the law and the prophets. Because ultimately, when you boil it down and you begin to look at those two ideas, the first thing says love for God. We've talked a little bit about that. What does that mean? That means I'm going to be obedient to Him. And in essence, that covers the second thing we've talked about, because one of the passages that we read pointed out the idea that if we say we love God, then we also love our brothers, and that's a necessary thing. But also, we see in this, love your neighbors yourself. So in one, we have covered our relationship with God and thereby our relationship with each other. In the other, we have covered our relationship with the rest of the world and the way that we treat them and the things that we do as we go about from day to day. I want you to turn with me back to the book of Romans and go to chapter 13. In Romans chapter 13, I want you to read verses 8 through 10 with me. And again, this same idea is used, and it sums up several other commands. In Romans chapter 13 and verse 8, Paul is writing to the church at Rome, and he says to them, "Owe no one anything except to love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandment, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet, and if there is any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law." So not only are we talking about the relationships that we have with each other being a part of our relationship with God, but if we are to be what He would have us to be, then we also have a relationship and demonstrate this love for all that we come in contact with, wherever they may be. Somebody says, "Well, that's not too bad. You know, I know a lot of people, and they're not necessarily members of the church, and I get along fine with them, and they're good folks, and I enjoy being with them, and we have a good time together. I love those people. They're great." You think that Jesus and then Paul, as he writes to the church at Rome, that he's limiting the application of this thing just to those folks who think a lot of us? So here's a person out there, and they're not a member of the church, and they just think I'm the greatest guy in the world, and they really like me a lot, and you know, I like them back. Is that who he's talking about? I don't think so. They would be included. But he's also talking about that person who gives you nothing in the world but a hard time. He's also talking about that person who may at times make fun of you as a result of the beliefs that you have in Jesus Christ. He is also talking about that boss who may put tremendous pressure on you to give in to his pressure to work on maybe Sundays. And he knows where you need to be and where you want to be. But he doesn't hold those same beliefs. And so he makes your life miserable because of your belief in Jesus Christ. Is he talking about that person as well? I believe he is. The point was made, as Jesus is speaking in the Sermon on the Mount, it's easy for us to love those who love us. Everybody does that. How much more difficult is it to take that person who is persecuting us or who hates us and turn around and demonstrate for them the kind of love that we should have. As Jesus points out, love your neighbor as yourself. If we will truly put this type of teaching into place, one of the things that we will find is that we will shine as lights in the world. People will be able to see that there's a difference between the way I live and the way others live. If as I go about from day to day and I live my life consistently according to the pattern of God's Word, people will see that and they'll go, that guy, there's something about that guy. He's different. And it may be I never even say a word, though I think if I'm truly loving my neighbor as myself, I will. But just by my manner of life, they will be able to see there's a difference between Bruce Hall and all these other people that I come in contact with from day to day. What is that difference? And if you're asked about it, don't be ashamed to speak up and tell them. Tell them you believe in Jesus Christ. Tell them you believe He's the Savior of the world. Tell them that you're trying to live by the Word of God and only by the Word of God in everything that you do from day to day. If you truly love your neighbor, part of what you'll be doing is spreading to them the gospel of Jesus Christ. You'll shine as that light on a hill, a light that absolutely cannot be hid. And one of the things that you'll see is that as a result of that light shining, souls will be brought to Jesus Christ. Because as they look at us, they will see something that they would like to have. If they see a group of people who love each other and interact with each other and care about each other and associate together and enjoy worshiping together and enjoy being together, if they see that, that's something that will draw them not to us, but will draw them to God and the relationships that come as a result of that. And so that light shines. And the question is it shining from the people who are sitting in this room? As you look at the way you interact with others that may not be members of the body of Jesus Christ, do they see in you one who is a child of God and one whose light is shining? Are they drawn to the fact that you have something that apparently they don't have? And if they ask you what that difference is, are you willing to stand up and tell them? Do you truly love your neighbor as yourself? Are you willing to make the commitment that you need to make in order to be what God would have you to be? This is the fulfillment of the law, treating our neighbor as ourselves. The point of this lesson is to remind us that we need to keep doing the things that we're doing. We need to continue in our growth and development as children of God. That's the purpose behind the things that I've tried to present to you this morning. There are some passages that I think do that as well as I ever could, as I want to conclude our lesson this morning. And what I want you to do is turn with me to the book of Philippians. And I want to read just a few passages from this book that I think point us in this direction, that we need to keep doing the things we're doing. We need to be what God would have us to be. And we must not allow ourselves to relax ever in our service to God. Begin with me in Philippians chapter 3. And I want to begin reading in verse 12. Paul says, "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." As you look at chapter 4, begin with me in verse 11. Paul says, "Not that I speak in regards to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." I want you to turn back a few pages to the book of Romans and go with me to chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, as we conclude this morning, I want to begin reading, beginning in verse 31. The idea being that there is nothing that can keep us from doing what we need to be doing except ourselves. And that's the challenge that lies before us. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 31, Paul to the church at Rome this time says, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, For your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities nor powers, nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And the challenge that lies before us is to continue doing the things that we have begun, and not to let up, not to relax, not to allow ourselves to be at ease or content, but rather for us to continue diligently working in the kingdom of God and being the light that shines on a hill to those that come in contact with us. That whole process begins by being a Christian. For one who is not a Christian is not enjoying the relationship with God that you can have. One who is not a Christian is not enjoying the relationships that we can have with each other. And ultimately, one who is not a Christian is not having the kind of influence on the world that they need to be having in order to shine as a light in the dark world of sin. Because until you come to Jesus Christ, you find yourself, whether you're sitting in this building or not, until you come to Jesus Christ, you find yourself just as lost as that person who is the deepest in sin that you can possibly imagine. And that's kind of a scary thought. Because sometimes I think we find ourselves taking comfort in the fact that we're here. It doesn't matter really whether we're here. It matters whether we're serving God. Now, if we're serving God, we'll be here. But I think you see my point. Don't allow yourself to be deceived by the comfort of appearing to be worshiping God in a setting like we have this morning. But rather realize that true worshipers of God are those who have given their lives to Him, who have dedicated themselves completely to His service and to His service alone, and are living a life that is exemplary of one who claims to be in Jesus Christ. That's what you need to do. And you do that by repenting of your sins, confessing your faith in Jesus as the Son of God and being baptized for those sins to be washed away, and rising a new creature, a child of God, one who has demonstrated by your obedience your love for God, now in a relationship not only with God but with your brothers and sisters in Christ, and going from there, you shine as bright as any as you deal with those that you may come in contact with from day to day. Are you ready to do that? We hope you are, and we hope you'll come right now as we stand up and as we sing.